Bet all day and night nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
The Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back about 5 minutes into hour three on this Tuesday off the big holiday weekend. Andy Serling of the New York Racing Association joins us now. Andy, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How you doing?
Good, good. I must say that I was kind of hoping we would be looking ahead to a double carryover, but I guess we'll just wait. That'll happen eventually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, wasn't very likely with the three horses that were uncovered on Monday.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There's plenty of other, I guess there's other races, you know, from the weekend to talk about and all the coverage that was going on television. But yesterday, I was eager and I looked forward to attacking that sequence. And I'm sure I wasn't the only one that wasn't ready for Ocala Dream in that Kingston. But it was the racing yesterday was really fun. I enjoyed the day, even though I got beat.
Well, Bob, you're that makes my day.
Well, talk a little bit about. I like the state bred stake days like this. I mean, and you know they're eligible for performances like Ocala Dreams, certainly. I thought some of the results were, you know, straightforward and you know, a couple of surprises. You know, Rotney. I don't know why I didn't think more highly of Rotney in that Mike Lee.
I don't either. Thought about putting him second after the scratch. I just decided not to change my picks. He was really helped by the scratch of the eight horse. And he's pretty quick, that horse. And then, you know, I don't really think the seven could run with him. And he's just too quick for those horses early. He's pretty good. I thought he ran very well. It's a nice horse. You know, if you take out his trip to Turfway after the synthetic race, he's been terrific. So I think he'd be 3-for-3 on dirt this year. But he's been really good. Second horse ran well in there. No, that was a race where there was a bad over bet favorite. I mean, I understand that Chad Brown's winning the very high percentage, but when they're going to make horses like Tin Pan Alley, the 8-to-5 or 9-to-5 favorite race like that, of a, you know, fairly moderate maiden win, you know, people are going to get burned. And at some point, there's going to be somewhat of an inevitable regression to mean. I don't think that Chad Brown's going to continue to win at 45% this year. I could be wrong, but I'm going to take a chance that he isn't. And at some point, you know, people are going to get burned just sort of over betting every Chad Brown horse. You have that horse that won earlier today up a maiden win aggregation.
Yes.
That was 4-to-5. Are you kidding me? What about that horse suggested he should have been 4-to-5? And just because they win doesn't mean the odds were right. And, you know, while I think going into the Tin Pan Alley, it was 19-for-26 with favorites, Belmont, an ROI run $3.10. It's remarkable, but it's also not going to keep up. And some of these horses are going to be favored that shouldn't be favored, like Tin Pan Alley. So, you know, we'll see. We'll follow that going forward. He's obviously got an incredible arsenal, and the team does a great job, but nobody's going to win at that high percentage, you know, for an extended period of time. So that was interesting. I thought the Bowery was an interesting race. I've been very much against Yo Cuz after, you know, she's the kind of horse that if you were to, you know, write a chapter on, you know, what makes horses dressed up, she would be a perfect example. You know, a horse that was in soft fields that was getting almost unimaginably good fortune, ending up in a race with no speed, on a track that was favoring inside speed, you know, ending up in a race with three speeds, two of whom got left, one of whom rider dragged the horse back inexplicably, and so she ends up walking the front end. As the racing got more competitive, she's just not good enough to run with those horses, and she's also a horse that had never shown the ability to sit off horses, and there was no way she was getting a lead in that race. So, you know, that sort of made that interesting. I wish I liked the winner more, even though the horse was sort of a logical horse, especially if you didn't trust the horse to rail off the layoff, but I like the second horse, but could have done better in there. As far as Ocala Dream, you know, I don't think I talked about him on the show. I feel like, you know, I should have put him fourth. I could have put him second. I couldn't really put him on top. But there was an argument for him in that, you know, horses are going to step forward. And I thought that his first start as a four-year-old was the best race he ever ran. And that's for a trainer, Tom Morley, who has a horrendous record with turf horses off of layoffs. So, you know, this is somebody whose horses basically always need a race off a layoff. And by design, it's not a flaw, it's by design. And so why was it so unreasonably step forward? I didn't think he stepped forward enough to win. And I made the mistake of thinking the favorite, who was a little of a bet in there, but was just going to be able to wire the field. The race got more competitive. Joel was aggressive. You know, Jose made that middle move, but it's nice to see a new player in that division, you know. Let's hope that Ocala Dream. I mean, these New York Red races are fun, but they're not going to be fun if they have the same stale horses, you know, right year and year. And no, not, I don't want to say stale. It's a bad way to put it. They're good horses, but we need to see new names in it. You know, it's like Ocala Dream moving forward is great. Barclay Tag had the four-year-old make it his first start of the year. He didn't run at all. You know, we'll see if he can improve in his next start.
Javier Castellano, I thought, was...
He gave that horse a great ride.
Yes.
Great ride. Did everything right. He left for position. He forced them to go a bit earlier, took off, waited inside, No, I don't think you could ride a horse better than Avi Road, that horse. Honestly. It's sort of everything Richie always says about getting your position going forward. And it's something we don't see enough, especially in turf races. You know, guys using a little bit of their horse early to really benefit their horse later. And that was a terrific ride by Avi.
If we stick with the stakes for just a second, go to early on the card, and Giacosa was coming back for Jimmy Bond, and that was a very nice comeback effort for a 5-year-old debut.
Well.
Right?
He ran very well. I mean, Joel Cesaro did a terrific ride at Classic Lady going in the front. I don't have any idea why they would rate the four horse in that race. I mean, I don't even know why they brought her over if they weren't going to go to the front. And Giacosa still was able to circle and win. I thought she ran very well. I agree. But a smart friend of mine made a strong case for her to be. And he said, I think you really missed out on Giacosa. I think she's better than you realize she is. And she was right. I absolutely underappreciate her going in the race. And she really ran well to win that race. And, I mean, as far as the favorite, his name is currently escaping me.
Runaway Rumor.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't see be able to run anymore. And right now, Jorge Abreu's bar is just, I mean, he had a horse in the maiden race, and just, you know, unfortunately, Jose Ortiz got just completely buried inside and never had a chance to run. Never really gave her any options, happens. So he either had bad luck or, I mean, that horse, the horse in the Mike Lee, woohoo something, woohoo, that's me.
Woohoo, that's me. Woohoo, that's
right.
Me.
I mean, felt like Dylan Davis thought he had a ton of horses. He second to Rotten. He got a stretch and horses backed up. Runaway Rumor was so good last year, and I'm just afraid she can't really run at all anymore.
You know, that actually, Andy, that brings up a very important question that I know is central on the broadcasts. What's next for Mr. Connecticut?
I don't care.
That was a struggle yesterday. I don't know.
I was between the Brayo horse and the winner, and I put the Brayo horse on top. They were both horses that were coming off trips in their turf debuts. So I ended up with Jorge Abreu at 5-1 instead of Todd Fletcher at 7-1. I sort of questioned my sanity after the race.
I should mention, Al Freed has been breeding winners and winning locally for a long, long time.
Has he made an appearance at the races?
You know what? As I was saying that, I'm thinking to myself, have I ever had Al on? And I don't think I have.
It was graceful on your part, don't you think, Steve?
I will rectify that this summer, all right?
I will really do that. Should.
Before I ask,
glaring omission.
It is. It absolutely is. I mean, it as for as long as I've been following racing in New York, Al Freed's been winning.
I'm ashamed for you. I really am. I don't see
him. Andy, I'm sure there were some people in the pick six sequence paid $91,000. There must have been plenty of people. I don't know if they had both Silken Dollar and Sinfully Sweet on their ticket, but I'm sure a lot of people, you know, got beat that had Sinfully Sweet.
Close, Steve. There were five tickets with the second horse, I think, and four with the winner. I bet the second horse, who I thought was worse to beat, I really thought should have been favored, and I said that in the air. That was an excruciating beat. That was the final nail in my week of excruciating beats. You know, you lose every one of them, and winning one of them, you know, turns the week around, but that's the way it goes sometimes. There's like that, usually that 1 week a year where you actually the two of them, and only there's four of them. I lost all six of them.
We all know the agony. And actually, I'm just pulling up because I did tweet the Will page yesterday. Yeah, and yeah, 73,220.
You mean that was accurate?
I wasn't worried about you not being accurate.
Make sure that I was right on.
I wanted to see the dollar difference.
The dollar,
18,000.
He could have divided 366,000 by 4 and by 5 and counted those numbers.
I don't have the abacus in my head like you do.
Yeah, it's a very, very tough one to divide 36 by 5 and 4. No, that's, I admit, I'm really proud that I'm able to do that.
I got it. 90, I got it. 90,000 and, yeah, you're right.
It helps
all right.
Round.
Jesus. See, I'm sorry that you got beat this week, but you take it out on me. Go ahead. It's fine.
I'm not taking it out on you. I'm just really excited that you're checking my math. You say you don't have abacus in your head, but you check my math anyway. Okay? Anyway, listen, I it's not me I'm worried about, Dalton. You've recklessly left off your show all these years. I saw him sitting at home wondering, is today the day that Steve Bick is going to call me? His call never comes.
I did call A.J. Foyt today.
Like so many people sitting around by their phones waiting for a call from you.
I didn't hear from you all weekend, actually, now that you say that. So I was sitting around waiting to hear from you. I didn't hear from you.
I'm a little busy these days.
Oh, I know. Listen, when you're a Mr. Andy Serling, it's tough. It's the demands.
Not easy. Believe me.
No.
The good news is I don't sleep anymore, so I have a full 24 hours every day to do everything I need to do.
Let's talk about the two stakes from Saturday and Sunday. And I just had Greg Foley, and he was watching with interest for the Clement winner, that big invasion, winning the Paradise Creek Sunday, because his horse, B.D. Valesky, just lost to him at Churchill. And he actually noted that 3-year-old came back and won Sunday. And won, he was favored, but he won the way he's supposed to.
He's a good horse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. Christophe had the two talented sprinters that have shown effectiveness going shorter, going 7 furlongs. And I don't think it's that surprising that Big Invasion's the one that, one of them was going to handle it, one wasn't. Because Big Invasion has speed. So horses that have speed in those races, especially as talented as him, they're probably more likely to be able to stretch out and that they can adapt the circumstance better. Whereas a horse like Derrynane didn't run well in the, wasn't the Wild Applause, whatever the race was on Saturday. Maybe it was, no, I don't remember. It's all in story softly. She ended up too close to the pace because the pace was slower because they're going farther. So she was compromised. She doesn't, she's got that big late burst, whereas Big Invasion is that type of horse. Now, it probably helped in Wesley's horse, Asymmetric, is that the horse?
Yeah.
Ran off. I mean, I can't remember. It's rare you're going to see a Euro run off like that. And he actually ran extremely well to be second, given the fractions he set and the way he just sort of ran off in the field. And that helped Big Invasion. Big Invasion's a good horse. I think Asymmetric is good, too. But Big Invasion's very good. It'll be interesting to see what Christophe does. He's obviously pointing the quick call at Saratoga, whether or not he would run in the Manila at a mile. We'll see. I mean, I don't know what running in the Manila does for him, because I don't think that he's going to stretch him out for those races, whether it's the Hall of Fame or those races, but he'll figure it out. He's pretty good. Christophe is having an incredible meet. He's winning like over 30%. And because Chad Brown is having this unbelievable meet, you're sort of not noticing, I think, the kind of meet that Christophe is having. I hadn't realized. I'd known they were doing well, but I was looking at the standings yesterday. I rarely look. And I realized, wow, he's having an incredible meet. And he's getting just drowned by Chad. But that doesn't take away from the fact that they're really doing very well. And it'll be interesting to see if he can carry on to Saratoga, He's had some, strong Saratoga meets 2 years ago. He was really leading for a while. Listen, it's obvious he finally got some help around the barn. His son. Mr. Connecticut. But they're having a huge meet.
Yeah, and he's actually I've wanted to reach out because he almost
he's
every
with Al Freed
now. He's had.
I think he's up in Turtle with Al Freed.
That's very funny. Well, and we should include, actually, the Reeves, Dean and Patty Reeves. They've been winning all over the place with all of their far-flung horses and operation, the different trainers that they're using. I keep seeing, you know, I keep seeing wins, the horses they have with Randy Hill. And
Randy has pieces of everything, doesn't he?
Well,
I think Randy's got more pieces of horse than Sal does.
By the way, wait a minute. I forgot something, and I'm speaking of, you know, friends of the show. We did not talk about Make Mischief's dominant
performance.
First of
all, everyone's a friend of the show. Let's just
that's so
there's
kind.
No enemies to the judge.
Oh, well,
the whole world is friends. Except one glaring, omission.
Make Mischief's performance in the Critical Eye for Gary Barber. She drowned that field. Davis
well,
was taking no
I mean,
prisoners.
To be fair, and I picked her, big deal. She was like the co-favorite, but the other horse didn't run. Thing. I know she was second. Make Mischief got a 99 buyer. Wow, I didn't see that.
Yes.
So maybe Banksting ran a little better than I thought. But, you know, Banksting really, you know, that wasn't the normal Banksting. I mean, she was barely in contact around the turn. And I'm not saying she was beating Make Mischief because she clearly wasn't, but I don't think she ran her new world race. But Make Mischief's had a very good career, right? Very quietly. She's run some big races, and really the best race she ever ran, besides that bias-aided win at Aqueduct 2 starts back, was when she ran a close third behind Search Results and Obligatory in the eighth quarter.
Yeah.
1/3 mile at Belmont's good. You know, maybe there'll be a race for her in the new the Glen Coast. The Bruce Johnstone shoot, Saratoga. The new mile
that's
shoot.
Good idea.
You know, you've forgotten about
idea.
That. You're probably not getting properly excited about the mile
well,
shoot
in
Saratoga.
Well, I'll tell you what
I'm just looking forward to the incredibly enormous amount of incredibly stupid comments on Twitter about that mile shoot. We start using it. I know it's hard to believe, but I think that one really could be, you know, a leader in racing this year in stupid comments on social media, right? I mean, it's hard because it's a tall order. But wait till the stuff that people are spewing about that Miles Hughes Saratoga. It's going to be awesome. Maybe I should have like a daily thing on the show where we read the 3 dumbest tweets about the Miles Hughes every day. That actually would be pretty good.
That actually has got potential.
I can't do this on the talking horse. So we have to incorporate that in because it's going to be legendary. It might be the highlight.
It does. It does feel like the shoot has got critical mass opportunity. Yes.
Oh, it's going to be. It's going to be. It's just. I mean, it's just an accident waiting to happen as far as Twitter. I might have to start muting a lot of people.
Well, yeah, the thing is about this, Andy, is that. It already, the door's already open because people are equating that very short-lived experiment, which actually was not the shoot.
By the way, Steve, very few of them were around for.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Right. It was like the late 80s. Was it early 90s, late 80s? Jesus Christ, I mean,
93,
only
I believe.
Old guys like me remember it.
93.
Yeah.
No, it's pointless. It's got nothing to do with what this is going to be.
What's better for Twitter than pointless?
I will say one thing.
Belong on social media.
Well, if there is one thing about the shoot, and it's your favorite topic when it comes to me. I was not thrilled with the paving over of, well, the Saratoga Dew. They've usurped the Saratoga Dew.
They're not using it? They're not running the Saratoga Dew anymore?
No. They've turned it into the Bruce Johnstone.
Well,
yeah.
Eventually we'll fill that void by running the Gary Siaka.
I was a little surprised by this, actually, that I didn't think that
the New York Red Champion,
the Johnstone Mile. Yeah, the first Eclipse-winning New York Red.
Well, I'm sure if Gary had to be replaced, he's okay that it was by Bruce.
That, I think nobody would argue that point.
Bruce, who belonged in that incredibly exclusive category of people in racing that everybody likes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a big list, but Bruce's name was prominent on that list. You know, all kidding aside, I think I'm among many, many people that miss Bruce all the time. He was really, really a wonderful guy, just in so many ways. Hell of a trainer, too, by the way, which some people might not remember.
Yes, he was.
He was one of those people, especially working with him at NYRA, and obviously our paths as far as what we did, you know, we were doing a bunch of different things, but you're just happy every time you saw him. And he was always great. I'm happy that he'll be remembered in that way. I kid around a lot, but Bruce was a wonderful person.
Well, and he was the one who advocated for the chute, you know, the reopening of the chute.
I'm aware of that.
You know, to a large degree. I mean,
and anything that can get Glenn Kozak in a tractor is going to, you know, hard at work at that job in the backyard at Belmont, too. Yeah. He's everywhere.
Andy, you made me think of something too that I was going to ask you. And when you mentioned, you know, only certain people of a certain age, I had Nick Luck yesterday, and Nick was terrific talking about the passing of Lester Piggott and his career. And my only thing I could really, from personal experience, relate was the Breeders' Cup in 90, and you know that it was one of the exciting elements going in that we were going to see Lester Piggott. Any reflection on Piggott?
No, and not. I mean, listen. You know, a friend of mine texted me, who's a good friend of mine, who's lived a lot in England, and he likes racing just tangentially, and his interest mostly in racing is me. But he texted me yesterday. He said, you know, I don't know if you're aware of the kind of star that Lester Piggott was in England, but he was, you know, as huge a name as anybody in sports. And obviously, it's just not, I can't comment on it because I wouldn't say it was so much before my time, a lot of it was, but I didn't really follow European racing back then. But obviously, he was an enormous, enormous success story, but I don't have any, it's just not in my purview.
I hear you. I hear you. I
just, to my detriment. To my detriment. I mean, I'm not, you know, it's unusual to see him dying like that, and it was as big a story as it was. And I think that speaks volumes about what a big story he was. But I don't have any. He wrote Dahlia, right? Did he write Dahlia?
Right. Dahlia, I mean, the list list is unbelievable. The achievement, I put it up at Derby Trail.
Did he write a Jinsky seat?
Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
My friend Bruce's favorite story when he was a kid, he was somewhere and they were discussing the Jinsky, the actual Jinsky. And he said, oh, the horse. Everybody looked at him. I think Beyer saw the Jinsky win. Was it St. Ledger the third leg? I think Beyer. Yeah. For that, ask him about that. I think he was. Yeah. Anyway,
I can't speak to seeing Nijinsky. I did see. I saw who did I see? He was quite aged by the time I saw him. Dance. I think I saw Nureyev when I was in high school. They took us to see
the horse or the dancer. I saw the horse.
The dancer.
I'm kidding. I have a picture on my wall. I have a big picture on my wall right above me of the field turning for home in that Breeders' Cup Turf Mile, actually. That you mentioned.
Oh, I may have seen that. I think I saw that picture yesterday when I was looking for a picture to put up.
The whole field bunch turning for home. Michael Gary's picture. what, years ago. I love that picture.
Oh, maybe
take a
picture of that with your phone, and I want to see if it's the same one. I ended up putting up one of his pictures. There was a wonderful black and white shot of him after Emporis Derby in 76. And I put that picture up yesterday with the listing. It seemed like Nick Luck really relished the opportunity to, because, you know, like, well, Nick is only 40-something. He's like 43, I think. And so, you know, Nick has the same perspective, you know, kind of observing through everybody else and their reflections of a guy like this. But I mean, when you read, Andy, all the greatest turf writers essentially of the last century, when you see so many people referring to him as the best, you know, the best jockey in history, it's tough to argue, right? I mean,
I don't know. I'm not disputing or agreeing. I'm not qualified to have any kind of opinion.
I tried to think of other contemporaries that might have, you know, Richie told a great story yesterday. Did he tell that story on air maybe yesterday or Sunday?
If there's a Richie about story Ronnie. Out there, if there's a Richie story out there that I haven't heard, please don't tell it to me. So I'll know there's one lurking out there somewhere that I can hear for the first time. I mean, is Richie, if you had Richie on to celebrate the Rangers win, I mean, he's got to be.
Oh.
I last night.
Well, between him and Dave Greinke, they got to be bouncing off the walls.
It's exciting. No
doubt. It is. Cool. It's great.
Yeah,
it's
great. They're both huge fans. It's cool. God, Dave tweeted yesterday that Memorial Day was the 28-year anniversary of him coming to work, I guess, the Post. God, I can remember. I remember meeting him for the first time in the paddock. I want to say Paul Korman introduced me to him, actually, back in 94. I've known Dave the entire time he's worked, you know, since he left working in the papers in Trenton. Dave and I are like two dinosaurs roaming the grounds.
For those that didn't see Dave's note, because it was a timing thing, a date issue, and
Holy Bull he put in the Met.
Yes, Holy Bull in the Met, and if you haven't ever seen it, or if you haven't seen it in forever, I would recommend watching. I think I retweeted, but it's unbelievable how they come to him, Andy, and it looks like he's going to get swallowed up, and he just runs away from them.
He was a great horse. He was an actual great horse. He wasn't a faux great horse. He was a true great horse. No, it was really a shame in racing that he got pulled up in that Don against Cigar, because, you know, Cigar fell into this sort of crevice, and I don't mean this is a knock on Cigar in any way, between Holy Bull and Skipaway and that crew, you know? And it's a shame because Cigar was better than all these horses he ran against. I think his subsequent race at the Don, we were one or two later where he won the Oakland Handicap. That might have been the best race he ever ran. It was an Ira Mile, where it was obviously Cigar Mile. It was an incredible race as well. But it was a shame. I remember being there at the Gulfstream. When he pulled up around the first turn, that was really a shame. Holy Bull is an incredible horse. His Travers was, you know, his Travers, Rachel Alexander's Woodward, you know, along with Slew's Jockey Club Gold Cup, they're probably the three, off the top of my head, the three most incredible performances in major races I've ever seen live. Actually, I didn't see Slew live. I shouldn't say that, but the other two I did. His Travers was incredible. And you know what? Like, you know, you think about his next race, the Woodward. He dusted a bunch of major, major racehorses like they were claimers. I mean, you bring up the list of the horses that finished behind him in the Woodward. I want to say Colonial Affair was in there, right?
Absolutely was. And
Colonial Affair would have won that Breeders' Cup Classic if he hadn't gotten injured. I'm convinced of it. He was a super good horse. Holy Bull just trashed him, you know? It reminds me of, I remember Tim Ice said to me the day after the Travers, he was talking about Summerbird, and I wish that I could have the exact thing he said to me. But it was one of those comments that somebody said to you, and that was really the first time I ever talked to Tim back then. But it was something he said that was just so great. The way he said it, he was talking about Summerbird, you know, way to Belmont, and he said, we went to Haskell, you know, sort of needing a race, and he just sort of said, and I wasn't being that monster anyway about Rachel Alexander. He just sort of said in an almost dismissive way, like, couldn't beat her even if I had her, you know. And Summerbird was a really, really good horse, but, you know, a sort of reverence for a horse of Rachel Alexander's ability that, like, it doesn't really matter what I did, I couldn't possibly want to be compete with her. And I think that was also true about Holy Bull.
Andy, but of course we've got with Belmont looming. I'm thinking Colonial Affair. Wasn't there was a Naira Mile that I remember going to.
Not with Colonial Affair. Maybe Rubiana.
Maybe it was Rubiano. Maybe it was Rubiano. I'm trying to, and I used to have the program, and I cannot find it. It was in that 89, 90, 91, 92, in that range. And I remember my buddy Phil and I went, and I was all excited to see the Naira Mile. And I thought, I gotta go look through some charts in some books.
Well, you're giving me no information there, so I can't really help.
No, I know. But Cigar won it. When did it change over to being the after Cigar won, but when did it change from the Naira Mile?
If they had done it before he won, it would be even more incredible if he paid $98. He won it in 94. Mott put him back on the dirt. Mott put him back on the dirt at the beginning of the Aqueduct meet. And he ran like a 106 fire or something. They just slaughtered the field. And he beat Devil Is Due. I needed Punchline for second at a huge price. He finished third.
Wow, but Punchline. There's a name you don't hear.
He destroyed that field. And he was a winner every step of the way. I remember that was the first year I was playing full-time. The biggest win bet I made all year was on Cigar in that race. And here's the trivia question. Who won the race before him? Under what circumstance?
Wow.
You either know it or you don't. Thunder Gulch won the Remsen, first time for Wayne Lucas.
Oh, good job. Wow.
Yeah.
Punchline was Billy Turner, no?
Feels like it.
Yeah.
Probably look it up.
There you go.
Whose guest time am I stealing?
I'll probably close out with Popo, but I knew we had a bunch of meandering to do.
Like 3 minutes in your show every day, every week?
Well, we just touch on, some of the form to win results and, just kind of kick the gong around a little. Andy, before we go, though, let's at least look ahead. Things are starting to firm up toward next week. I had John Sadler earlier, and he seemed a little excited about Flightline's trip to New York.
Well, geez, I would hope so.
Yeah, he was excited. You could tell. He was excited.
I would hope he is. We're all excited he's coming. So you can tell him that. I mean, I assume you're heading down to Belmont to be there for the arrival of Rich Strike. I think it's between 8:30 and 10 tonight. Okay, so, no. Mickey Small trained Punchline. And I think Andreas Seafeld wrote it. Let me look up the chart. I'm looking at it right now. Hang on. Where are the writers listed? No, I'm like drunk. I can't even read these charts. Yeah, Andreas Seafeld wrote it.
Wow.
Brunswick finished fifth. What major race did Brunswick win? And who trained him?
Brunswick. Well, our pal Pete Vestal trained him.
No, he was trained by Tony Margotta.
Okay. Who am I thinking of that Vestal that Pete trained?
I don't know. He won the Whitney.
I was going to say Whitney, but...
Taco was seventh.
Who am I thinking of?
Bertrando was tenth. Say it again? I don't know.
Who am I thinking of, then? Of the,
Harlan finished 11th.
You know who I was thinking of? I was thinking of Williamstown.
He was trained by Pete Vestal.
Yes.
What, did he set a track record when he won the Westchester? No, that was Jean, that horse in Nix. I believe he won the Westchester. Well, one of those races. Anyway, we done? Or do I need to keep babbling?
Well, if there's anything else, we did reach, actually, you mentioned Rich Strike, who...
Tom Amundsen is going to be favored in the Belmont on the show yesterday. I haven't had a chance to tease him about that. Punchline was 78-1. Don't worry, I will.
I'm glad to hear that Amos was on. How many visits has Amos been making? Has he been
not enough? Waiting? Not enough.
Is he wading back into the action?
No, I think we wanted to hear his opinion of the horse's work yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right.
He was interviewed by Paul the other day on the show, but he'll be in Saratoga, thankfully. He had a nice looking 2-year-old Furster win the other day. At Churchill.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did, actually.
Yes. Horse looked good.
I happened to have seen that, and I mentioned it.
I thought that Todd Fletcher, that 2-year-old he won with at Belmont, was very impressive. Tech was his name. One early this week.
That came from off the pace?
Yeah. He was very professional.
The horse of Amos, for those that are looking, is Owen's Leap, a Bolt Doro.
Yeah, he was a Bolt Doro. Forget what Todd's horse was. I think it was on Friday, so I'll just look it up.
I got the charts here myself, too. Because we had the carryover on Friday to deal with. Oh, you know what I didn't ask you about? And then I'll let you go. Highly Motivated, who had the bad start, and Pratt was...
Forte is Todd Sorensen. Go ahead, sorry. Highly Motivated.
What'd you make?
I have a Highly Motivated hat I wear a lot. I love my Highly Motivated hat. Since I left my Swing for the Fences hat at lunch, regrettably, I've now fully adopted Highly Motivated hat. What did I think of his race? You know, I think that he's a really good horse, but the question is, how good is he? And he's right now in a bit of sort of horse purgatory, right? Where he's, you know, he's got limited options in allowance races. And is he really fast enough yet to be a true contender in a stake race? And I say this as somebody who wants him to be horse of the year, you know? Like, I love that horse. But it was nice to see him win. He does need to break a little bit better. It's the second time in a row that he has not broken super sharp. He got a terrific ride in there. I think that Stage Raider also ran very well in there. To have to justify.
Yeah.
But I think it's hard with those horses now because, you know, at some point they got to put up or shut up, right? What do you do with Highly Motivated? You know, where is he going? And this is a very difficult year for horses, you know? Like, thinking about another one of the Clarvage horses, reinvestment risk. Last year, he probably could have won two grade ones. This year, with, you know, with horses like Speaker's Corner and Life is Good and Jackie's Warrior around, these races are very, very hard, you know? So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But there's some really strong horses that can be affected going shorter as well as longer. And I think Life is Good is supposed to return in this epic named Navy. As long as I'm a racing team, someone will be there to give you credit.
Thank you. Andy, this was a lot of fun, as always, and I will look forward to seeing you as soon as Sunday.
I can't wait. I hear you already bothered Pat McKenna for the first time, so that was exciting. That's always a great rite of passage from Belmont. No, that's okay.
No.
I'm going to go.
Pat reached me to find out about my needs. What? That's unbelievable. I didn't reach out and annoy Pat. Oh my God! It's the other way around. he's the best. Andy Serling, everybody. That was fun. Gonna close out the morning with a visit from Papa, and we'll see. I know he couldn't come on Friday because he was working with the engineers from Australia. I think a lot of racing, our domestic racing future, seems like Australia has got a hand in everything that's happening, right? Between the fixed odds, right? When we talked to Dallas Baker. Speaking of which, by the way, since I mentioned that, Monmouth over the weekend, Kentucky Ghost on Saturday won the cliffhanger. For Vicky Oliver, that was a very clever spot to ship Kentucky Ghost to grab the cliffhanger. The Jersey Derby, Fuerteventura for Jonathan Thomas, that was on Sunday. And then yesterday, Kelly Breen got going. Home track, of course. Whimsical Muse wins the Miss Liberty. We'll check in. We'll get an answer about how the fixed odds weekend went as well. And I hear Papo with us. Let's find out how his weekend was. Papo, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. We've had a lot of recapping. Michael W. McCarthy, George Papa Padromo, John Sadler, and Greg Foley. And what did you do after Friday? We didn't get a chance to talk and do any form to win capping because you were busy with the engineers.
Yeah, I was busy on several fronts, Steve. Working with the team in Australia on a new build on Form to Win, and then I did two videos that we hope to get posted on the new website that we're also rolling out. My fiance got COVID, and my dog had surgery, so and I'm trying to, during the whole process, I'm trying to move. So it's been an interesting last 10 days, that's for sure.
Well, here's the good news on the fiance and COVID. Better she get it out of the way now than in any proximity to the wedding.
This is true. Yeah, we're 28 days out, so she started having symptoms last Tuesday, so she's about a week out now, and she's already turned the corner, starting to feel better, just, you know, a little bit weak. But by this weekend, she should be fine. But on the racing front, Steve, I know you had George earlier on the show, and Form to Win had that exact cold, American Theorem, over Principe Carlo.
Wow.
That ended up paying $82 for a buck. I mean, it was cold. Just sorting by average Form to Win time. I set the filter up for races between 6.5 and 8 furlongs, and it just laid it out right there for you. And then yesterday at Lone Star, also There Goes Harvard was second on average Form to Win in the Hollywood Gold Cup. And then yesterday at Lone Star, Silver Prospector was ranked along with Mish. So that was a decent exacta. The key to getting Silver Prospector, Steve, was in the new Form to Win app, you have the ability to take a race out. You click the edit button. You press on the race that you want to just throw out for a particular reason. I didn't like Silver Prospector's last race. I just didn't have anything, so I took that race totally out and refactored the Form to Win time, and that moved him up. And so that keyed a nice exacta also. But that's just one of the new things we have built in the app, and we've released it to several of the people that have been subscribing, and we're getting positive feedback, and we'll continue to tweak it, and we'll release it to everyone.
Well, excited for that, and that is that's an element, Papo, that is very clever, because in to some degree, if there's races that are, you know, fishes out of water, that might include, you know, a race that was an experiment on turf or on synthetic. In fact, there's a couple of spots with winners we've discussed today. If I went back, I think American Theorem is one that may have been synthetic back to dirt. But I mean, if you can edit out a race that has a visible excuse, or is just not germane necessarily to what's happening today, that is a potential impact factor.
Oh, it definitely is, Steve, especially if, like, you take notes and you watch the races, or, you know, I've noticed here watching some of the horses have obviously not run as well on Lasix. Now, when they go back on, if I take that race out where they didn't run as well, then they're factored right back in. So, you know, it's just manipulating the data, but the calculation is recalculated. So if you take that race out, you're going to get a new Form to Win time for that particular horse, and we think that's a pretty powerful tool.
Well, that I have not yet had the opportunity to tinker with that. That is interesting. So
yeah, all you do, Steve, is you go to the comparator tab in Form to Win, where you see basically all the horses, at least their last 10 races, and then you click the edit button, and you can take out as many races as you want. And then when you go back to the analyze tab, you'll have new Form to Win calculations for those particular horses.
Well, and you know that also, when you say that you can essentially take out as many as you want, you could also net out trainer change and you know diminish some of the starts that the horse may have had with a prior barn. And
if it's a horse stretching out and then he's going back to a one-turn race, and you don't want to look at his two-turn races anymore, then you can take those out. And it just, I don't know, it's a feature that I've been waiting on for them to get it built in, and now it's built in.
Wow.
And it paid dividends yesterday. So it's working great, and I just continue to have people to play around with it. And that was just an angle that I liked, but there's going to be other people that have great angles too. And the great thing about the app is we can build those in. So that's why we love to hear the feedback.
Well, and part of this and the fact that, you know, we're what, about 6 months into the year and waiting for the widespread relaunch essentially of the new graphics and all these new bells and whistles. But part of it is that you've gotten feedback from users and have then gone to the builders and said, can you incorporate this? And you know, those are elements that are only going to make the thing more effective, and people can utilize it to their benefit. That's the whole point of this exercise.
Yes, Steve, and we also have a feedback button built into the app itself. It's on the top of the screen. So all you have to do is click the feedback button. It takes a screenshot of your screen. You type in your notes, and that goes straight to the developers. Like, that bypasses me. That goes straight to the developers, so anybody can give feedback, and the developers are going to see it. Of course, you know, they run it back through me and say, hey, this user's commented on this, and but you have a direct link to to the developers to give them feedback on things.
Excellent. Well, we're inching closer, and it sounds like what's going to happen first, the relaunch or your marriage?
Ooh, good question. The marriage is definitely happening in 28 days, so I would probably put my money on that. The thing is, Steve, is we don't want when this app comes out, we want it to be as good as possible. Like, you only get one shot. We only get one shot of this thing and getting the users engaged. And I've got to make sure that it's as perfect as we can get it. Not saying there aren't going to be hiccups along the way, but we're all trying to minimize the amount of hiccups that users have. So when it comes out, it'll be very good. It's very good now, but it'll be even better the more feedback that we get on it.
Do we have did you punch anything up for today out of curiosity?
Oh, I did. Well, I was trying to look for some fairly large fields. I found an interesting race at Horseshoe Indy, fifth race. I mean, it's a claiming race, but it has, I don't know if scratches are out, but it has a good field of nine. The two-horse El Socio fifth on form to win, but the three-horse Eye of the Cat at 5-1, and then the seven-horse Killer Bee, who's 12-1, are not too far behind the favorite, so I'd be interested in maybe getting those two in the mix along with the favorite.
All right, what's the three-horse? Give us a three-horse box.
237.
237, and the only, there's no scratches, just the MTO came out, so they are on the turf today at Horseshoe Indy, and in fact, tomorrow we will talk to John Dooley and get caught up with everything going on in Shelbyville. Papo, I appreciate it, and we'll do some handicapping Friday, all right?
Friday I'll be moving, Steve, but I'll post some stuff online.
All right, and I hope the fiance is feeling better ASAP. Papo, Morales, everybody.
It,
thank you, buddy. Papo Corp.
Thanks,
1, you got it. Form to win, and go ahead and download, and you'll be that much more prepared when we get the relaunch done. And that is a very interesting little wrinkle, being able to edit out races. That was new to me. So I've got both versions, but I keep using the old version just because. That's the way I operate. I will cling to the old until the new one is until I have no choice, right? Fun 3 hours. This went by fast. Michael W. McCarthy, George Papa Padromo, John Sadler, a really fun half hour with Greg Foley, Andy Serling, and Papo Morales. Form to win, an AM wager. Back tomorrow with a Wednesday edition. Going to get, of course, Dick in here. Dick Powell join us, and Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale with Sid Fernando. Pete's going to visit, Pete Fornital, tomorrow as well. Pete did an interview with Lester Piggott. So talk to you in the morning, everybody. Good luck today if you're playing. See you tomorrow.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo STEVE200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leadership,